If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band.
Welcome to a hired coach edition of Agnox. Well, really, Kyle Abb. My name is Tom Ag. I'm joined by Billy Big Shot and Ag Jack. And we have hired Mike Elko. Mike Elko, former defensive coordinator for Texas A&M under Jimbo Fisher, has taken the job for head coach, leaving Duke behind. Absolutely turned Duke around. Did fumble around this season a little bit, but he was dealing with his third-string quarterback. 10 times the hire that Bob Stoops or Mark Stoops is. So I'm happy.
Let's talk about that real quick, because we did an emergency pod last night. You might have listened, you might not have, but we talked for about 15 minutes about Mark Stoops and the hire and how much it didn't make sense and how we couldn't wrap our heads around it. We couldn't justify it, validate it. So here's a little snippet of that. And then we'll get into talking about Elko.
We don't know what to do.
I mean, Clay Travis just tweeted, there's no way Texas A&M is actually hiring Mark Stoops, right? It has to be a smokescreen. You can't pay $76 million to fire Jimbo Fisher and hire Mark Stoops. I mean, maybe this is a crazy, like, bait and switch. Like, last minute, they're playing hardball with Lane or Ryan Day, and they're like, hey, they put it out there. They're like, we're hiring Stoops. We're good with that. And they're going to make them bend to their will. And then flip it out last minute. And they're just like, Stoops is going to be taking the brunt of this and no one cares. Because, hey, go get your fucking 12th year at Kentucky, dude. Like, I don't know. Like, could it be this crazy?
Stoops and Bjork's, like, 19-year-old social media managers are just going to be catching strays for, like, 24 hours.
Like, all the A&M fans, all of us are just in shambles, and the Kentucky fans are, like, celebrating, and then it turns out that, like, there's no deal in place. There never was. Okay, so let's just – should we even say it out loud, like, that we hope that maybe that's what happens and it gets switched out at the last minute, and it's, like, a Josh McDaniels Colts thing? And it, so, like,
all right, there is a sliver of hope, Knockers. So – There are rumors that the deal is not done just yet. It is 10:40 p.m. November 25th. Rumors that the deal is not done. Remember that word, rumors. So there is a sliver of hope that this is like a giant smokescreen psyop type deal. And honestly, I think Sexton is at play here. This is some snake in the grass bullshit going on.
All right, so that was a snippet from our Mark Stoops emergency pod from last night. As you can tell, towards the end, in the snippet that we released to the public, we did discuss the fact that there were rumors that it might not go through, and we were super hopeful that it wouldn't go through, and maybe we'd have a Josh McDaniels Colts situation. Ended up, crazy enough, right after we posted the link to the emergency pod, we got the news that Mark Stoops was actually going back to Kentucky and A&M had backed out.
Yeah, that was huge. Shout out to Jack and Tom for blowing their load early. The meme picture of the South Park covered in jizz thing comes to mind when thinking of that. But we were talking about if we should do it or not, if it's official, but it's good to get that out there. And clearly they had something in the right direction of, hey, everybody's freaking out about this. This feels like a less sexually motivated Jeremy Pruitt type situation in Tennessee. So shout out to the booster, shout out to us, shout out to the Knockers. Bullying works. It's a fact. We may have saved ourselves a few years of mediocrity, hopefully at least. But we have to look at it from the flip side. Are we going to be kicking ourselves if somehow Mark Stoops goes out there with Kentucky and they win the SEC East? Is that in any world, does that happen? I mean,
well, of course it could happen. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. There's a non-zero chance that it happens, but I don't think we're going to be kicking ourselves, because everybody, new, old, rich, poor, everyone hated the move of hiring Mark Stoops. We've reached a level where we can cyber bully our athletic director online and are doing whatever we want. He will bend to our will. That's probably mostly because of the donors in Houston, but I mean, I'd like to think it's me adding him in mean tweets. But you know, it's nice to know that we could do that.
It was partially the tweets. I mean, they definitely got bombarded by rich boosters, the Board of Regents. Everybody saw what was going on, and it was such an insane negative reaction online. I mean, you had national pundits talking about it, like, holy shit, look at these Aggies. They do not like this hire at all. And then we kicked and screamed and we got what we wanted. And now we know that we can do that anytime going forward.
Well, let's hope we don't do that again. But the crazy, someone was saying there was like 28 pages of negative reactions on TexAggs after Lucci commented or post the update about, you know, like by the end of tonight, I would be shocked to see it, you know, not go through. So Lucci has been working, been twerking and doing his best, man. But that's a tough one to be the end all be all. And then they just 360 on you like that it's got to be tough.
Dude, I've even heard rumors that Stoops was on his way here from Lexington.
Yeah, they said that he landed the plane and then they told him to turn around. I don't believe that. But
I don't know, but I'd like to think that that's true because that's some sack up stuff.
That just has to be the quietest plane ride home possible. I can imagine.
And then he took the whole plane ride home asking ChatGPT how he was going to word his tweet back to the Kentucky fans.
They like tried to play it off well. Like, something happened where he realized like it wasn't right.
Yeah.
Like, he just wanted to stay home in Kentucky. Like, he didn't want to like definitely majorly upgrade in terms of school. So,
and he couldn't even leverage Kentucky to give him a raise. He just went waddling back home to them.
They're definitely like, fuck off, bro. Like, we had, so there was the galaxy brain theory, the Jimmy Sexton theory about how apparently Jimbo wants to coach West Virginia. Or what, like that was his out. And I can't remember the coach's name at West Virginia, but supposedly he was tabbed to be the replacement for Stoops at Kentucky. Mm. Jimbo was going to go to West Virginia and Stoops was going to come to A&M. It was like the, again, very galaxy brain theory, but you never know.
Well, so do we think that, because we talked about this last night, do we think that it was a plant by either the AD or the Board of Regents to Lucci to get the word out to see what the reaction would be? Or do we think this was actually at the 1 yard line? And then, I mean, were they looking for a reaction or did it just happen to be that the reaction caused them to back out of the deal?
I totally think that the reaction caused them to back out of the deal because as soon as my phone was blowing up, like with people just like saying, what the fuck? Like, it had to be the reaction. Lucci's been wrong before, but I'm not that wrong about I would doubt a deal gets signed before tomorrow. Like he wouldn't put that unless he was pretty sure about it. And all the negative outrage, everything like that, that totally stopped the deal.
No, so I texted Lucci directly, immediately from his mouth, asking, I guess, if they had pulled the plug due to a fan reaction. He said, yeah. That's exactly what happened. So hate to see that, but it was confirmed from the source himself.
Yeah, they're in a group text of Billy's.
Billy to Billy speak. It really is different like that. I won't get into how I know Billy personally. He may think I have big tits and I'm a little taller, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
The reason I ask about whether or not they floated this out for the reaction was because – okay, so we go, you know, not even 24 hours later, probably 12, 16 hours later, they announced Mike Elko pretty much in the same exact fashion. It came out. They're like, hey, it looks like they're going to agree to terms. And the reaction online was, I think, overwhelmingly positive, not to the point where everyone was like popping champagne or everything, but everyone was like, okay, this is great. We know Elko. We like Elko. He's going to keep E-Rob. This is an A&M guy. We're comfortable with him. But I feel like if Elko was the guy last night, people would have been very much like split on him more so. And since we dealt with what we dealt with last night, everyone was just happy today.
Yeah, I originally was actually thinking I kind of would hate an Elko hire. But, you know, as we dove more into it, I'm assuming we keep Elijah Robinson. I don't think there's any way we don't. From what I've heard, I think we were saying he's going up to as a DC. We've got Elko running the team, and then offensive coordinators is to be determined. We'll get into that. But I think that's the best case scenario for maintaining the talent we have on the roster, maintaining the recruits we have, and even probably, you know, expanding our talent pool a little bit. So I've heard Elko can definitely recruit well, especially when we talk to Coach Cleet about that. You just got to make sure that he can handle kind of the CEO role rather than being so focused on the defensive side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hearing the Elko news after last night, like, I think everybody's happy with that because there's obviously way worse.
Yeah, for sure. And like we said, we posted this today. We had the interview with Coach Cleet Norton, who worked under Elko at A&M and at Duke, and he had nothing but great things to say. This was, I think, week three or four. It was right after we lost to Miami. Coach Cleet was telling us all about how, hey, if Jimbo is on the outs, you guys want Elko. Elko's the guy. He's a genius, yada, yada, yada. We actually saw a post today on TexAgs. Let me read this to you because I think it's pretty interesting. We don't know how true it is, but Cleet did tell us, hey, this seems pretty accurate based on his interactions with Elko working under him at A&M and Duke. So this is how the post reads. I know a couple of people who personally know Elko from his time here as defensive coordinator and can vouch for the following. Number one, Elko is highly intelligent, very smart, also self-aware. If there's a problem plaguing his program or his side of the ball, he will realize it and address it. Jimbo could walk into living rooms and recruit players, but he was basically a low IQ redneck who lacked any modicum of self-awareness and thought he was God. That was obvious just from listening to his press conferences. You can get away with being stupid if you're not arrogant. You can get away with being arrogant if you're not stupid. Jimbo was stupid and arrogant. Elko's not stupid. He may be proud, a little arrogant of his defensive capabilities, but from what I understand, that manifests itself in him making sure his defense performs in games, not him ignoring any and all criticism. Number two, Elko stuck around for 4 years because he was given carte blanche over the defense, but he was frustrated with the organizational disjointment, sloppiness with which Jimbo ran his program. He knows exactly where Jimbo succeeded and failed, and he will be able to leverage that knowledge to hopefully improve the program. So I think that gives us a really good idea of, like, I mean, obviously we're kind of whitewashing this in our favor, but could it be that Elko is everything that was good about the program, and he's just kind of, we're carving out the cancer that was Jimbo, the stupid hillbilly?
I mean, I'm not going to call him a stupid hillbilly. I will say that the same TexAgs poster also, like, told Elko he needs to lose like 30 or 40 pounds just out of nowhere. I feel like you should have included that.
That was how he capped off the post. There was more there, I didn't want to go.
I think that was a good summary, but it was, I mean, yeah. I think that's the main thing, right? Is obviously we had like our most successful years where we felt like the program had the most momentum with Elko at DC, and he saw what went well and what didn't go well. I think he got some good, genuinely, like, get your feet wet, get a year of head coaching experience at Duke, see how things go. Did you do 2 years or 1 year? I think it's just one.
At Duke.
Oh, two?
I thought it was two or three.
I think he was
maybe it was two, because I feel like we've had Durkin for 2 years. Anyways. But anyways, it was a good experience for him to get that there at Duke and just be able to get a feel for running both sides of the ball, get a feel for clock management and stuff like that. So definitely pumped to see how he can kind of take the next step on that next level.
So speaking as someone who's been ACC fan for most of my life growing up in North Carolina, yada, yada, you watch Duke. And when I was a kid, Duke had lost like, I think 36 games in a row. When I was growing up there in like 2007 to 2009, it was, they were like 1-32 or something like that. Something crazy. So Duke has never been a good program. David Cutcliffe came in probably like 5 or 6 years ago, ran a decent program, got them up to speed. And then Elko came in and he kind of changed everything there. Like, they actually became competitive. They became hard-nosed. They recruited a little bit better. He made the most of his talent, and they have no resources allocated towards football there. They did not give a shit about football, but he made that program competitive and he made those guys play hard. And whenever they played in a big rivalry game, they would punch the other team in the face. They might not win every time, but they would compete. They would just fucking go at them and give them their best shot. So that's something that we haven't seen for years here. And obviously with more talent and his comfortability with our program, understanding the way that things work in College Station, I think that's going to go a long, long way, especially when we're, you know, I mean, year one, he's matching up playing Texas. He's got Notre Dame week one.
Oh, let's go. Elko era starts with Notre Dame at home. What a fucking way to come into God, I can just feel the hype train of beating a bad Notre Dame team already. But I mean, it's, I think that's going to be awesome for him. That's the main thing. They won big games. They beat Clemson. They should have had Florida State. Their quarterback, I think, got hurt in like the third quarter. But they won big games and they stuck in there in the games that they didn't win. So hopefully that extra level of talent is what gets them kind of to turn some of those close losses into wins.
Oh, dude, I can't. Yeah. First instance of Elko, whenever we actually had a team that fought against hard teams. Y'all remember Clemson 2018?
Both years were crazy.
That was a game. LSU was a game. Like that, I mean, everything, dude.
Yeah.
Some dogs. They're still in that dog mentality.
I forgot Elko came to A&M from Notre Dame. He was the DC at Notre Dame. So that's revenge game right up top.
Oh, snap. Why isn't that the narrative? Elko going against his former team week one? Duke doesn't count. Notre Dame does.
That's huge.
Yeah, we don't want to be playing Duke. But, yeah, I mean, what do we think, I guess, about the hire? I mean, we all feel pretty good. I don't think anyone was super upset about this, again, because it could have been Stoops. But
it definitely, I mean, like, compared to where we were like, oh, like, Ryan Day, Dabo, like, Urban Meyer, Lanning, DeBoer, however you say it, like, it definitely feels a little bit lukewarm compared to those. I really think the Mark Stoops thing helped – like bring the expectations way down of like, okay, let's just do the safe thing. Let's just do what feels right here. Don't be a fucking idiot. So I thought that was really important in the kind of the vibe of that, especially keeping E-Rob as DC. The question is, who are we keeping Petrino or who are we rolling with at OC is the question.
I don't know. I genuinely do not know who Elko is going to bring in for offense coordinator.
Yeah, it's completely a toss up. I mean, if he keeps E-Rob and you keep Petrino, just understanding that he's got head coach experience while also kind of being like his offense, so he can run the offense and then Elko can run the defense and then be the overseer. It makes sense, but at the same time, it's kind of like, do we want to hold anybody over from the previous regime? And I mean, when Bobby P showed up, we didn't think he was going to stay long.
I think the Athletic article that came out though said, like, give me kind of the what I need to keep Bobby P around is like, yeah, he was quote calling plays, but it's like you're calling off Jimbo's play sheet. So, I mean, you got to take it with a grain of salt. I think what we saw at the end of the year, we were moving the shit out of the ball against LSU. We put up 50 on Mississippi State again with a third string quarterback. So, I'd love to see what he could truly do in a scheme. With Wegman and some of those offensive weapons would be awesome to see. Will we see him with Evan Stewart? Probably not. Just had to slide that in there.
I mean, maybe though. Like, because
maybe.
Yeah.
I'd love to be wrong. Genuinely, I would love that. But
there was some good stuff because people were wondering like, hey, who's going to come from Duke? There's some good DBs, like highly rated DBs that were kind of retweeting stuff about Elko that might come with us. And honestly, if you're pulling the best players from Duke, which is very likely, because think about those guys, dude, they're playing at Duke. If Elko likes them and trusts them to fit in his scheme, they're going to be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to A&M. I mean, at least I would think. It's all about, let's make sure the quarterback is happy. Max Johnson also announced today he's going to the portal, which makes sense. We didn't even know he was eligible for the portal. But he's out of the picture, so it's just Jalen and Connor now.
Does he have to sit for a year? No, probably not because he graduated.
Yeah, so. No. He's. Could you imagine him playing next, like in 2025?
Be like 30. Let's save that for the Wednesday pod. Let's keep it coaching focused. I think. Are there any other closing thoughts we have on the overall whirlwind of the past 2 days? We'll talk about the LSU game on the Wednesday pod, but that's.
I just the takeaway from Bjork and how everything's hearsay about how it went down last night and today. But at the same time, the shit show that occurred, it's got to fall on his shoulders. So it's like, how do we move forward with him? And how do they explain this away in the press conference? I mean, that's going to be the most eye-opening and important part of the week is whenever Elko's got the press conference with Bjork.
I mean, they could just dismiss it as rumors, I think. If they really want to, they just be like, nah, that was like inaccurate. Like, there's no, I mean, there's no tangible proof to that, that anybody's going to get caught. I would be curious to see if Bjork's in the presser. I don't think he will be.
I mean, I think he has to be, honestly.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Unless he's fired. I mean, yeah, like, so I guess if you're right. Like, if he's staying, obviously he has to be in it. But yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, I don't know. He might, he has some questions to answer. And I would expect that the media would be pretty difficult on him. But
they should be. If only we had a seat up there, bro. But they laughed at us.
Let's get some credentials, bro. All right, that'll do it, man. We're pretty excited about this. The more you think about it, the more it's like, okay, this is like, it's an A&M guy. He gets it, and he knows what he's coming in to do. So let's get excited. We've got a crazy schedule next year. And if anyone was going to have a good first year here and kind of pick it up like he left it off, I think it would be Elko. So that's all positive signs.
I'm in. I'm sold. I'm happy. Thank you, guys.